This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm Attorney Travis Gagné. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. You know, I feel like, really, Steve, you missed your calling.
What's that?
Because I know that if you hit the lottery, you'd buy a lot of weird things.
All the weird things, including a fully functional locker room shower.
Yes.
For, like, a hockey locker room shower.
That's why I feel like if you were an actor, you would take those weird things and make demands of the movie set that you're on, have them put in your contract.
Yes. I'd be like, you guys need to talk to me about some updates and some edits to the script. Grab a beer.
No.
And join me in the shower.
Yeah. That would be very weird, and probably would get you in trouble depending upon, you know,
who. You can wear a bathing suit if you want to be prude.
Yeah, still, I got to say, I feel like some people go, no, I don't want to wear a bathing suit with you in the shower either.
Like, where's Migs? He's been in the shower for the last 4 hours. He's not coming out until we figure all this stuff out.
The director is probably in HR right now. The reason I bring this up is there's a pop culture website that just put together a list of the strange things that actors request in their contracts. And George Clooney, I'll tell you right now, when you're George Clooney, you get some stuff, man. So the movie Gravity he did with Sandra Bullock.
I remember that movie.
Oh, yeah. It was a good movie. I only want to watch it once, but it was good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw it totally. In the theaters. It was pretty damn awesome to see on a big screen. I'll never see that movie again.
Yeah. But here's the thing. To do the movie, he was like, okay, you're going to pay me, and I need a basketball court. So he requested a basketball court in order for him to be able to do this movie. And then he said, oh, by the way, when I'm off set, here's where I want to go. I want to go to a private beach hut inspired place. That's where I want to be able to go to. So make sure that when I go, instead of a trailer, he had to have a beach hut inspired vibe wherever he was going to go.
See, they had like sand and like,
I'm hoping truckloads of sand.
Yeah. Right? And like a palm tree.
Yeah. And what are they going to get? Like a big screen TV that looks like it's the beach or something? Like, or some.
Oh, maybe a big bucket full of water or a pool.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah. Get a little watermelon shaped pool.
I know a place.
Yeah. Boy, I have to say, is there competition? You know, you wonder about all the things we've heard about with the Fast and Furious set, because you got basically three big action stars in the same movie with three big action egos. And you wonder, like, okay, what kind of contract demands did all of them have when...
No, we had one huge action star and two other good-sized action stars.
Okay.
I'll let you guess which one's the huge action.
Yeah, I
physically,
you're
huge.
Probably you're gonna hate me for this, but out of the three of these people, there's only one person who I have a tremendous amount of respect for. and that is the transporter. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jason Statham rocks. I'm not going
to. He to me, I hate to do it to you, Steve, but he's a better out of all three of them.
That's completely wrong. But,
yeah.
You know,
sorry. But yeah, we're talking The Rock, Vin Diesel, and Jason Statham. Here was the deal that was in their contract. This is funny. I mean, talk about maybe ego or whatever. Here's what they all said. We are to suffer equal pain in the Fast and Furious movies, whatever that even means.
Well, they all have to watch the movies. They have to also suffer.
Wow. Also, here's
one. Like visually, like in the movie, they suffer pain, or like in the stunt? I'm guessing in the movie.
It's the movie. It's
the characters.
Yeah, it's like, oh, if I get cut, well, then everyone else has to be cut. Like, it's that same sort of like, we don't want anybody else to be cooler than us.
Right. No, no one actor, no one character should seem stronger than the others.
Oh, I didn't even realize that's what that meant.
That's what I was thinking too, Ralph. Oh,
yeah, absolutely. And that's a total ego thing.
Wow. Okay.
My character can't look weak compared to your character.
Yep. 100%.
I was thinking the other way because I'm such a baby that if I have to get hurt, they all have to get hurt. I don't want to be the only one getting hurt. And
I stub my toe. Jason, stub your toe. Kick it right now.
Right now. Here's another thing that actually lends credence to what you guys believe, that none of them could lose when they fought each other.
I feel like The Rock is bringing like the ego of the wrestling business into this, because that is like an issue with some wrestlers where they're like, I can't lose to this guy. It doesn't make sense for my character. You know, like, dude, just do what the producer or like the booker says.
See, I'm starting to really be on Team Diesel here. I mean, you know, Rock came in and invaded that set. Granted, they could use, I mean, when you're at Fast and Furious number, 45, you do need some other help because it's just like the regular family ain't cutting it anymore.
See, I think it's all three of them that have this. So it's just like the simple fact of the matter is like, oh, I don't want this person to look cooler than me, especially Vin Diesel, like, doesn't want that because these are, you know, quote unquote, his movies.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want somebody else coming in and kicking his ass.
I know, it comes off as a shock, but I'm leaning more towards Vin was the initial issue, and then everyone else was like, well, screw him. I don't want that either then.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. So Samuel L. Jackson, who, by the way, I think should get whatever he wants because everything he touches turns to gold, really, when you think about it. He must be allowed to golf at least twice a week, and the production company has to pay for it and take him. Yeah. I
didn't know he liked golf.
I didn't either, but a lot of, you know.
Does he like golf or does he just not want to work more than 5 days in the week? And he's like, well, this will be a good enough reason. I like drinking outside.
Yeah,
you know, that's a good idea. Even if I wasn't a golfer, I think you made strong points. I mean, you know, it's pretty out there.
You know, of all the things so far, that seems like the least, like, weird.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people had that in their contracts.
Right, and he's like, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. I'm not working 7 days this week. Like, you guys are going to have to figure it out. You can do all the other scenes that don't involve me on, you know, Saturday and Sunday. I'll be here Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of actors have had to work long, grueling hours. So, yeah, to be able to say, look, twice a week, I'm going golfing. No matter what. So you're going to have to figure it out.
And you're going to have to pay for it. Because if I was at home, I'd be paying for it myself. But you guys made me come out here and make this movie. So you know what? You pay for it. Pick up the bill.
Yep. Jack Nicholson, of course, we're going back to when he was the original Joker in the Batman movie that Tim Burton did. It allowed him extra time off in filming. He said, I'll do your Batman movie if I can get time off to go watch L.A. Lakers home games.
Oh, that makes sense.
He's a ticket holder.
Yeah.
I would do that with the Kraken.
Oh, yeah.
If I was a big actor,
and
person.
You're paying for my season tickets,
yeah, exactly. That too, you got to buy me season tickets and give me the time off to go to the games.
I don't know.
And talk to the team. I need a picture in front in that tunnel with the cool blue lights.
Oh, that's your Santa mascot.
Yeah, that's what you're gonna want. Yeah,
release the mascot.
He has to pose in the picture with me.
Yeah. Feel like you've got to get to Jack Nicholson status. I'm not sure here.
He's close.
Is he? I mean, all right, fair enough.
Not even. I don't even have golf clubs in the back of my car.
What?
Wow, here's something I didn't realize, which is fascinating. With all the action movies, all the movies this guy has done, and now that I think about it, never once have I seen an action figure of Tom Cruise because he will not allow it.
Oh.
Which is really bizarre that he's done a lot of stuff, and they probably could have made a lot of money off of that. And no action figures for Tom Cruise.
I'm sure there's like some knockoffs, but like no like actually sanctioned action figures.
Yeah, he says he won't allow his likeness to be used for action figures or video game characters.
Why?
That is a really great question, because
that like, seems like one of the coolest things ever, is to get an action figure of yourself and also to get a video game character.
You know what? That if I ever get to interview him, that I will have to ask that question.
You know what it is that the action figure then would be taller than the real Tom Cruise. You know, those 12-inch action figures. No?
Wow. You know, next time someone does a bald joke, we're going to remind you of this.
You know what it is?
Oh, dude, every day I get a stupid bald joke. Cry me a river.
Cry me a river.
Every day. Someone posted a picture of me with hair. And I read 17 different messages. Make you still have hair? Yeah. Everybody has hair at some point, and then you lose it. That's just how life is.
Wow. Okay. Poor Tom Cruise, you're taking a beating because of what Steve goes through every morning.
You know what it actually is? He doesn't want to end up on Genevieve's Playhouse and get more views on those than his actual movies.
Okay, is that just what happened here?
Yeah. He's right.
No, it's true.
Okay.
All of a sudden, Tom Cruise, the doll, is playing with Peppa Pig.
Okay. Yeah. No.
In an action.
Bluey.
Please. Don't ruin a good topic with your stupid cartoon stuff. Would you please?
That's not a cartoon. That's a YouTube.
Genevieve's Playhouse is real life, bro.
Yeah. Okay, that's great.
Real action figures.
Involving human hands.
We are. Yeah. Thanks.
Lots of human hands.
Okay. Yeah, it's super that's, weird.
All right. Okay. Well, that's, you know what? I'm so happy that we ended it with that. Hey, the Mariners. Let's talk about the Mariners.
The Seattle Mariners.
All right. There we go.
Seattle Mariners.
Unfortunately, Nico over there, not happy with the Seattle Mariners because they had a great couple of wins against the Yankees. And we're going to find out what this all means as we catch up with our bud, former Mariners pitcher, our man hyphen, Ryan Roland Smith will be with us at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle.
Oh, BJ, we're very excited to have our next guest on because it's always a blast to talk to them. When
the Seattle Mariners
are winning, please welcome to the show from Root Sports, former Mariners pitcher Ryan Roland Smith.
Hyphen! What a season, brother. So good to have you on.
Ah, it's good. And, yeah, I, like I said, every time I jump on, if I get a text message from you guys, the Mariners must be winning.
Yeah,
it's a good time. It's been good. It's been fun. That is for sure.
Ryan, that pretty much sums up every. I'm watching the games, and then something epic happens, or a few epic games happen. I get so jacked. I'm like, I'm texting Ryan. We need to talk to him because it's just. Just understand that's me in a moment of pure euphoria. That I'm like, I gotta send Ryan a text. He's got to jump on the air with us to talk about the Mariners.
For sure.
Sure. So again, if you would like to tweet Ryan, he's a great analyst for Root Sports, and you hear him on the broadcast. You hear him doing a lot of post game, pre game stuff as well. You can tweet him at @-18. Has a great podcast called The Top Step, along with his buddy Grant Balfour. A new episode out now.
Great episode with fighting legend Randy Couture. Obviously, you know from the MMA days. Wait. Yeah,
that's what's he got? What's that going to do about baseball? What are you guys branching out? What are you doing?
Well, the Mariners like the
fight. Hey, last time I'll tell you why. Because last time I spoke to you. You guys, the Mariners and the Angels had that big brawl, right?
Oh,
so I mentioned, we were talking about a brawl, Grant and I were talking about just some randoms that we've been involved in. And then we're like, what is the best technique? What do you do if you get charged at? And sure enough, I said, hey, we've got to have Randy back on. So people started emailing me saying, can you please have him on? So he comes on, he breaks down all these different, it's hilarious, man. We show him a bunch of different clips and he's breaking down guys, what they should and shouldn't do. It's awesome. He's the man. So, it was a lot of fun.
That really did turn it around, it seemed. It seemed like that team just became a completely different force and unified because of that fight.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, and, there's a lot of things you can look at on paper and say, so-and-so's now you know, his OPS is this, and that's why. No. When you are in the clubhouse, when you're in the trenches, I don't care what year it is. Baseball, I get it. It's ran by a bunch of nerds in the front office.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You know what I mean? Like, and good for them. I mean, some of them do a really, really good job, and it's a hard job. It's a hard gig, and you know, a lot of pressure and stress and everything else. But I don't care what you say. When you have moments like that with a bunch of dudes that you are traveling with 6 months nonstop, you know, every you're on a plane, you're on a tiny little like you're on a bus or inside a plane every 4 to 8 days, and something like that goes down, and you have those moments together, that can completely turn around what is happening with that group in that work environment. So 100%, it had a massive effect. And then other moments like yesterday, like some of the big moments yesterday and the night before, when you're exhausted in the 13th inning. And you have those moments, man. You have to have them. You may go out and win, you know, 1,000 games a year, but when you don't have those moments, it'll show once the season gets on deep into the year. That's for sure.
No, right. I'm not as I don't get too neat. I don't get, as you would say, nerdy as BJ does with baseball. But I've been like obviously watching the Mariners in his last few games. I've been noticing something. I don't know if it's just me just trying to like see like what is going on with this team. But I feel like that the starting pitching and also even the bullpen, they just seem more aggressive. Like they're just like, go ahead, try and hit our strikes. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just watching these guys. I'm like, it's a lot of fun to watch this team pitch because they just seem like they just have, like, this cocky vibe to them.
Yeah, well, a couple things on that. First of all, when you get, you know, Luis Castillo 2 nights ago, when you have stuff like that, and I'm just watching, I'm just like, man, like, how did he ever get hit? Because when you have 3 pitches that are just absolutely elite, you can throw strikes and you can go after people. Another thing, and you make a great point, because Robbie Ray, right, who signed a huge deal, 5-year deal, a lot of money, different expectations. He was having a nice little string, 6 straight games where he was just dominating. All of a sudden, he, you know, hit the skids, 3 really rough ones, and 2 of them against the Astros, who, you know, you're a divisional rival. So he comes out against the Angels this is last Friday, and dominates, like nastiest I've ever seen him. After the game, and to your point, after the game, he says, you know what, I was struggling, so all of a sudden, I just went back to that mindset of, here it is, hit it. I'm just going to throw it as hard as I can, and I'm going to throw it over the plate and see what you do. Now, when you hear a pitcher say that, right, because I've been there, you struggle, you go through a couple rough ones, all of a sudden, you start trying to search for answers, you're watching videos, you nerd out, back on that point, and you try and, you know, come up with another pitch, or you do it, or whatever it may be, you try and come up with different answers. When you do that, all of a sudden, you're getting defensive. So when Robbie Ray said that, I was like, oh, man, that's what we're talking about, right? That's what makes him so good. Now, when you have that, when you have someone in the rotation, and you're another starting pitcher or reliever or, you know, pitching coach, and you hear a guy like Robbie Ray, who's been through it all, say those comments, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. And when you're a young pitcher, you're like, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. So now all of a sudden you see some of these young pitchers, Matt Brash especially lately.
Yeah.
You have that vibe. And another thing too, Pete Woodworth, the Mariners pitching coach, simply does not get enough credit. It's amazing. When I talk to these guys, I say, oh, yeah, what do you, you know, I mentioned Pete's name. You can see the reaction. They just light up. When you have a pitching coach that you can bounce things off and you trust him, he gives you information, you trust it. He can translate some of the, you know, the analytics to you in a certain way from, you know, the way you're talking in, you know, a certain baseball language, life's a lot easier as a pitcher. So there's all these different things going on, I think. And you, again, you make a really good point, because that's exactly what they're doing. They're just pumping strikes. That bullpen is ridiculous. No walks. You know, I mean, it's nuts.
And you know, we're talking to Ryan Roland-Smith, by the way, analyst for the Seattle Mariners. They got a game tomorrow night, 5 o'clock on Root Sports, as they're traveling to Texas, where they've had a lot of good success. Ryan, how big of a deal do you think for the team, you know, where they get to see the vote of confidence from management and the owners and everybody when they pick up arguably the best pitcher that was available, you know, at the deadline? What you've been on teams, what does that do for a team when they go, holy cow, they brought in this horse? I mean, you know, that what a pickup.
Yeah, well, you go back a year ago, and I don't know if you remember, they had Kendall Graveman, who was in the bullpen, and they traded him away. And I don't know if you remember, players were pissed. Players are not happy about it at all, because it was like, hold on a minute. Like, we're right here. Like, we're so close. and you did this. And then there was a bit of a communication breakdown. Well, on the flip side of that, when you go out and you get... Now, first of all, let's not forget, just on that, just the five guys who were in the starting rotation when they picked up Luis Castillo were all dealing at the time. All of them were dealing. So from a starting pitcher standpoint, from a team standpoint, you look at that and go, hold on a minute, you guys are identifying the fact that, all right, everyone is dealing. You're not sitting back going, oh, yeah, we're good in this area, let's just keep going. No, you identify that we are not in this just to try and get to the playoffs. We're in this to have, like you called him a horse, when you get to that first round of the playoffs. Because we all know, and I go back even, you know, if you're old enough to remember this, 2001, they had some really good starting pitching. At the trade deadline, players really wanted to get another starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And they said, no, we're good. We're winning a bunch of games. We're all good. We're happy with what we've got. Get to the playoffs, and guess what? You match up, and you go into a five-game series, and you've got, you know, a Gerrit Cole versus Luis Castillo, a Robbie Ray versus whoever. And all of a sudden, you look at those matchups, and we all know pitching is what's going to put you in a position to win a playoff series. So I think when you look at that, you say, okay, this is not something where we're doing really well, we have a fighting chance to get to the playoffs. No. We want to have success once we get there too. So that was, I think, the difference. And that was kind of the conversation from the player's point of view, once you saw Luis Castillo come into the fold.
And another thing, Ryan, that I want to bring up, just because, like Steve said, I am a big nerd about it, but it was really on display, and I'd love to have you talk about this, because if you're a casual fan, now you realize, because, you know, people jump on the bandwagon a little bit, rightly so, and they go, okay, why is this team good? Why are the Yankees good? And, of course, everyone wants to talk about Aaron Judge, because, of course, he's having a tremendous season, which, you know, as far as we know, you know, this many home runs without any sort of, enhancement, which was the big deal. Back when the Barry Bonds days were and things like this, it's just an amazing thing. But the big reason that the Yankees are successful, if you don't know, is that they run the bases really, really well. They've been an aggressive team playing a lot of small ball, which was so amazing to see. What many people don't know, the number one American League defensive team, the Seattle Mariners, just shut that down. That was important to see, to watch, because I was like, whoa, the Yankees' big game was taken away from them by an amazing defense, and it made me think this Mariners team is better than maybe a lot of people know because of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, fielding percentage, you know, and again, the boring stuff or whatever. Mariners are first in Major League Baseball in fielding percentage, and when you watch it, when you go a little deeper than that, some of the analytics when it comes to the defense. Is that they have an extra step or two on each play. So in other words, if J.P. Crawford, that ball to J.P. Crawford's right, where he's backhanding that ball or coming in on the ball, he gains an extra step, nearly step and a half to two steps, which is insane. So in other words, you're basically cutting the infield down that much more.
It's almost like he's psychic. Like, he knows where the ball's going to be hit, and he starts moving there before it's even hit.
Well, there's a couple. Well, first of all, Perry Hill, who's this guru, infield guru, who's old school. They're out there every day. By the way, they're out there like at 2 o'clock every day.
Wow.
And they're all doing the same routine. It looks like a little league team. You know how like you have the little league team, and you make them do all these like, you know, these little drills that you show kids. They're all doing that stuff, and they're all into it. Like, it's crazy because. I've got to say, like, first of all, J.P. Crawford, and going back a little bit here, when J.P. Crawford came over from the Phillies, he was a first-round pick. Phillies kind of gave up on him. And he came in, he had a bit of a chip on his shoulder. And he went and met Perry Hill down in Arizona. And Perry's just like, look, you know, your career's going to be over soon if you don't start making changes. He goes, you're really athletic, but you just don't move the way you should. This is right as he got traded. So he had to go down, meet up with him, and Perry just set him straight. Now, when he did that, all of a sudden, now Perry's like his guy. He's like his, you know, he's like his baseball dad all of a sudden. The other thing, when Kyle Seager was here, he was out there. He's a veteran. He was out there at 2 o'clock every afternoon. So what do the young players do? They're like, oh, this is what we're supposed to do too. And this year, even Eugenio Suarez is the third baseman. Everyone's like, well, how are you going to, you know, fill the shoes of Kyle Seager defensively? Well, he has done that. And a big reason why, a veteran comes over, brand new team, and he's out there at 2 o'clock every afternoon working his butt off because they just do those little things. Now, that's on the physical side. where they're just locked down defensively. On the other side of it too, you know, with some of the numbers you mentioned, it's like they're psychic. They're just playing like their setups on the shifts and their setups with, you know, left and right from what hitters do what is off the charts as well. Like, and this is just coming from a pitcher. I've had some bad defense behind me. I've had some really good. I had Adrian Beltre play third base for me.
Oh, boy.
It shaved a point off my ERA.
Yeah.
Because he was so good.
He was great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You got to understand, you may not pay attention, you know, when you're smashing your beer and you're watching from the upper deck, whatever, but I'm just telling you, when you really pay attention to how good they are defensively and the balls they get to, it's insane. It makes a huge difference.
Hyphen, I got to ask you a question. It's a stupid one because that's just kind of how I think. But one of my favorite players for the team is Sam Haggerty. I just love what he's been doing. That home run was fantastic, but I hate that he wears number zero. I was wondering what you think about players that wear number zero.
Yeah. I'm on the fence about it, honestly. Like, it's here's the thing. I've walked myself into a hole here. Do you remember Malik Smith a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Malik Smith was on the team.
Yeah.
He wore number zero. Like, I actually can't tell you guys why he wore it, but it was the dumbest reason why.
Oh, I wish you could tell us.
Oh, wow. I didn't know there was a reason you couldn't mention that he did that. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. No. Well, anyway. So it was.
Wow.
Man, I walked myself into a hole here.
Can you text it to me at least? I would like to know the reason, man.
For sure. You know, whatever. I'll tell you guys. He's an exclusive. So,
here we go.
Someone asked him, someone said, you know, and it drove me, I don't know why it drove me nuts. I just kind of shook my head. But he said, hey, they said, why do you wear number zero? And he said, because it's zero F's given.
Oh, there we go.
Actually, I like that.
Right away, he just said it right away, and like kind of like, you know, straight off. I was just like, okay, dude. All right, yeah, we get it, right? Yeah, and it just kind of I don't know why it bothered me, but look, numbers aside, number zero, some guys can pull it off, some guys can't. Now, Sam Haggerty, love the dude, man. I love the way he plays. He's a baseball player.
Yeah,
he runs with some. He's got some speed. He does some of the little things. He's aggressive, and what a time for him. All of a sudden, you have this logjam in the outfield, right? You have guys coming back left, front, and center. And here he is just putting it up and getting a chance to play way more than what he expected, breaking through at the major league level. You got to remember, he had an injury last year. They took him off the roster. He was in AAA this year. He wasn't even on the major league roster. Comes up for like a 2 seconds, option back down, comes back up, and works his way into regular playing time. Now, let's not forget, too, the speed. You know, if you don't know Sam Haggerty, he can run.
He can.
Yeah, so you think about this, and you see this in the playoffs all the time. I don't want to see a situation where, you know, they trade him or they DFA him or something like that, and you lose him, because we all know that speed element is going to be huge once you get to October. There'll be a play, I guarantee you, and we can remember this conversation between you guys. There'll be a play in October where he'll come on to pinch run, or to do something, and speed's going to be a factor to win again.
Yeah,
it happens all the time.
It's that Dave Roberts moment. I mean, that's
exactly.
Yeah, he's
exactly.
Going to be that guy.
Exactly. So just a great, and look, he's playing a lot at the moment, and he's doing big things. But you know, when it boils down, when everyone gets healthy and Julio's back and everything else, I think he plays off the bench. But man, what a good role player off the bench too.
Man, we're going to be talking to you more, no doubt about it, Ryan, because as the season goes on, we are all very excited. And don't forget, tomorrow night, the Mariners are traveling to Texas, where they've enjoyed Texas home cooking, and let's hope that happens. 5 o'clock on Root Sports, you can hear Ryan talking all about it, Ryan Roland Smith. Tweet him at @-18. Hyphen, man, it's always good talking to you, brother. And we're like, yeah, you'll hear from us again, unless, of course, they go into a big losing streak. Then you'll never hear from us again.
Oh, I'll be texting. Hey, can I jump on? No, I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, new phone, who this?
Yeah. Ryan, take it easy, buddy.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Oh, man. So, I mean, it really, it's so much fun to be talking Mariners this late in the season, really feeling good about the fact that we're making the playoffs. Yesterday, Steve, he did get this one right, but he had a little help from the Rev.
Right. Michael Kramer played who on Seinfeld?
Kramer.
Yes.
Oops.
yes. You got me up.
Rich. That's an expert game show host right there.
He's just here to help.
Yeah, he really is here to help.
I was able to Ken Jennings it and got it right.
Oh, don't even. Yeah. You want a shot at beating Steve? Okay, you got it. 206-421-ROCK. You know what we're doing. We're playing Beat Migs, and you might have to beat Rev, too, at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. Here's another question from a listener. How long is a bankruptcy going to affect my credit rating?
Of course, most of the time, by the time we're talking about filing a bankruptcy, the credit has already taken a huge hit. Chapter 7 is going to affect it more negatively than Chapter 13. Chapter 7 stays on your credit report for 10 years from the time you file. It usually takes 7 or 8 years for your credit scores to get back into the normal range in a Chapter 7 case. However, your credit will start to recover even in Chapter 7 after about a year. You'll be able to get credit again right away, usually before your case is even over. Chapter 13 stays on your credit report for 7 years and usually takes about 3 or 3.5 years for your credit to get back in the normal range. So Chapter 13 will mean your credit gets better much more rapidly.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.